turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see today, and in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy. Find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, just in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fear is gone. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child. child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
With everything kicking off, it's easy to get scared and get fearful. Don't let the devil take away your identity, who you are. Because in this next verse, your identity is in the man. We not only tore the veil between us and God, price for healing, paid the price for sickness. He split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fear in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. See, so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child.
Hi everyone, welcome to everyone who's watching online and at home. It's strange talking to a camera, but I have a small audience, keeping our distance of course. Today I'm wanting to talk about Jonah, which is this a true story. Jesus actually refers to Jonah. And I want to focus on the last chapter of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. But obviously, before that, Jonah was asked by God to preach to the Ninevites, and he tried to escape the presence of God. And there was the whole scenario of getting on a boat, being thrown off, being in a fish. And that takes us to... And then also the Ninevites repented when he did eventually go and preach to him, which takes us to chapter 4. And I'll just read through that. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I had said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade until he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it also damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "Is it right for me to be angry even to death?" And the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not laboured, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And I would not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock." Clearly, we can see that Jonah had a heart problem, and we'll see how God responds to this. In Jonah 4, verses 4 to 5, God challenges Jonah's behaviour, to which Jonah goes and sits on the east side of the city where he made a shelter to sit in its shade. The next part, verse 6, really confused me. It made me think, why did God need to make a shelter if Jonah already made one? I looked at a few different translations for the plant that gave Jonah shade, and other variations I found included God in the King James Version, a leafy plant in the NIV, and a vine in the Contemporary English Version. And that was the one that really stood out to me, the vine, because it reminded me of John 15, verse 1, the true vine passage talking about Jesus. The effects of the plant on Jonah were very positive, as we've read. In my version, the New King James Version, it says it delivered him from his misery. Looking online for a further explanation of why God needed to provide a shelter after Jonah had made one, I found out that where Jonah was making the shelter, he wouldn't have had many resources to build one, and this meant it wasn't sufficient to cover him. And this explains why he was happy about that, the plant that grew. This speaks to me of our own works and self-righteousness, which are not sufficient to cover ourselves. Mankind's always had the desire to be covered since the fall of man. But God was gracious in the midst of Jonah's self-righteousness and anger towards God. He provided the plant out of the kindness of his heart. So commonly, as Christians, we can fall back into the bondage of sin. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." But if we do fall back into this bondage, it's because we're eating from the wrong tree. We're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. We're looking at right and wrong things that we do instead of looking to Jesus, our true vine. Doing this robbed Jonah of his joy to the point of wanting to die. For this reason, I see the plant as a type of Jesus, sent by God like the plant was, and who revealed the heart of the Father, love. And in 1 Peter 4 verse 8, it says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." Thank God that he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, it says in Psalm 103 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17 says, dealing with self-righteousness, it says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We need to not focus on our own works because they are not sufficient to cover us, but focus on how Jesus has performed righteously in our place. It goes on in verse 7 and 8 of Jonah, chapter 4. And again, I looked for an explanation about the worm that came, that God prepared. And I didn't quite find an explanation that rung true on Google. I guess you can't trust it for everything. looking at the reason Jonah was sat there in the first place to see how God would treat the city after they repented, I personally believe it wasn't an act of cruelty, but a prompting for Jonah to move on to the next thing God has for him. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. The end of the chapter seems to end abruptly. Again, God questions Jonah's continued anger from the verses 9 to 11, and there's no reply from Jonah recorded at the end. But this just goes to show that self-righteousness and trying to do things in our own strength pushes us further away from God. It's all by faith and not by works, but if we try and earn our way again, it creates a false image that we owe God something. Arthur Menteges, I don't quite know how to pronounce his name, from my course at Bible College, said something that stuck with me. You'll grow to hate the person that you're obligated to. I hope the things I've said have been some help to you personally. I want to emphasise that through everything, God was so gracious and loving towards Jonah, as he is towards us. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. And this love from God towards us has no intention of receiving anything back. God loved us to give and not get anything in return. I hope this has blessed you as much as it has me, if not more. And I really encourage you to read this passage for yourself and others looking at it, and other passages looking at it through God's love. I'm sure I've only scratched the surface, and it's more encouraging coming from God, not from me. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Celine. That's been really good. And for everybody listening, I hope you take on board what she said. It's kind of amazing that even today, in the environment we're all in, it's interesting to listen and to see that God is still gracious. He's gracious before the cross, he's gracious after the cross. And he loved the people of Nineveh, which is, if you check out Nineveh, it wasn't the best of places. In fact, it was quite an awful place. And yet God still loved them. God still cared for them. And God reached out for them. And they repented and turned to God. So with that in mind, of what we've just heard, I just want to bring a few thoughts on the fact that God did that for Nineveh and he sent somebody in, but Jonah sat on the sidelines almost waiting for God to do something. He was waiting for God to destroy them. And even this week I've heard that people are saying, oh, there are odd Christians in there saying this is a judgment of God. This COVID-19 is a judgment of God upon the world, upon the UK. I actually don't think it's a judgment of God. People often point to the fact that in the end times this thing's going to happen, that thing's going to happen. And yeah, that's true. It does say that in Revelation. But we're not at that stage yet. This isn't, you know, God's judgment upon the world. That will come. God is still loving us, still gracious. He's a good, good Father, and he loves us to bits. But we need to be careful that we don't let fear take into our lives, come into our lives, and we don't embrace the fear that's so obviously prevalent throughout this time now, especially. It seems that COVID-19 is causing problems, it's killing people, but the fear of it seems to be more disastrous than the actual product of itself. There's a few verses that I'd like to read to you. Job 3, not many people get into Job unless they're in a time of misery and trying to help themselves through it, but Job 3, 25, 26 says this, what I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness, no rest, only turmoil. There are believers, Christians, who have got no peace, no quietness, no rest. and all we're seeing is turmoil. Maybe for Job, it was the fact that he feared certain things, and the things he feared came upon him. And we need to be careful we don't let fear actually, or we don't embrace fear like a lot of the world are. You see, the Bible's clear, and I'll read this verse because I'm just going to use it as a thing. It says, I know whom I have believed in, and I am confident that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The most precious thing that we've given to God is ourselves. And we are confident that he can guard and help us and be with us through this time, that we've entrusted ourselves to him until the day that he returns. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, as others have said, but of power, love, and self-discipline, or power, love, and just, well, basically, it's not the spirit of fear. It's a spirit of love that God's given us. Fear is not something that should be part of the Christian walk. Now, I'm not saying we're not fearful at certain things, but it shouldn't bind us. It shouldn't take control over us. It shouldn't hold us tight. We are men and women of God who should be able to step through the fear curtain, as it were, and step into the next things of God. I believe one of the things that the devil is doing is trying to get us all into fear, because when we're in fear, we're not happy people. We're not joyful people. And if you remember in the Bible, it talks about the fact that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you're fearful, you're not joyful, and therefore have no strength. You're easy pickings for the devil. I don't know how long this thing's going to happen, carry on, or what's going to ultimately happen. But one thing I do know is Jesus actually warned us and told us, it's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Have it in abundance, in the New King James Version. And just have it to the max, as it were. And the devil's trying to steal everything and take things away. And we need to be careful as believers. We need to honour the law of the land. And we need to do what they're asking us to do. But there may come a point where we've got to draw a line in the sand. The devil will push and bring fear upon people in the church. But we may have to draw a line in the sand and say no further. We're sticking with the things of God. There's a verse in the Bible that has recently kind of really concerned me. And I'm very aware of what the government's saying, but I also think we need to be careful about the things that God says. And one of the things he says is that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I'm not saying that we suddenly all run to the church buildings on Sunday and all get in there together. We need to honour the law, we need to honour the government, and they're doing whatever they can in the environment that they've got. But we also need to know that God's got a plan and a purpose for us all. And we need to, if we can't assemble physically, we still need to be touching base with people. We still need to be ringing, Zooming, Facebooking, whatever it might be, WhatsApping people. And there may come a time when the churches are shut down permanently, not through this, but through legislation or laws. And then we'll have to cross that line and say no further. We are going to do the things of God. Because it's interesting now, there's another thing that the Bible talks about is laying hands on people. And it's curious to know that we can't even touch people. So how can we lay hands on people? Well, we've just got to trust God. When the leper came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, it's against the law for me to touch you, even though it was. He didn't say, you know, I can't associate with you because it's against the law. And it was. Jesus reached out his hand and says, because the leper said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, the Bible says, reached out his hand and he touched him and said, be clean. Jesus didn't pull back. He wasn't a man walking in fear. And we shouldn't be people walking in fear. So let me encourage you. Jonah just sat on the outside watching for God to bring destruction. And there may be Christians who are watching for God's destruction to come upon this world. I don't think this is. But God had compassion for Nineveh. God has compassion for this world. The Bible tells that God so loved the world. He loves the entire world. Yes, the messed up bits as well. In fact, we're all messed up. But he loves the world. We're not to sit in judgment upon the world, pointing a finger. We're just to bring glory to God and tell people about the love of God. He's a good, good Father who cares so much about us. So let me encourage you, check out the story of Jonah. Look it up in the Bible. Read it through from beginning to end. He was an angry person and quite judgmental. And you can understand why when you see the people he was going to see. But at the end of the day, Celine's brought some really good points out. She's brought out some things that I think should stir your hearts up to start checking out. You know, often we just think of our own comfort. We only think of ourselves and how we fit into the way things are going in life. But God sees a big picture. He sees a nation, our nation, as godless, who's lost without him. And maybe he's using this situation, this circumstance, to stir hearts up. Maybe the things that Celine said should stir your heart up so that you can say, hang on a minute, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines pointing my finger. Maybe I'm going to roll my sleeves up and be the body of Christ to my neighbours, to my friends. Maybe I need to pick up that phone. Maybe I need to stop obsessing with me and my problems and start looking to God's bigger picture, that there are people without him who are going to hell. And we don't like that idea. The fact is, God doesn't like the idea that people are going to go to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. But the Bible tells us that if people reject his love, his offer of salvation, they're already on the way and they've rejected salvation. Maybe you're the one who could reach out to them. Maybe you're the one who could bring the presence of God into their lives. Remember, Jesus has told us that he has come to give us life and life to the full. He's not told us to start whining about everything and anything. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us the strength to keep on going. So be encouraged. Check out Jonah. Read about Nineveh and see about God's grace. Amen.